Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, 50 years ago this week, an iconic theater opened on Miami Beach. The Byron Carlyle had a rich history of bringing in some of the top Hollywood films, and in its beginning featured two massive theaters holding hundreds of seats. Back in 2014, more than a decade after the theater shut its doors, Miami's O Cinema reopened the iconic theater to the public to feature the top independent films from around the country. In celebration of the theater's 50th anniversary, O Cinema is screening the iconic cartoon film about the Beatles, Yellow Submarine. The Beatles have a unique history with the city of Miami, spending 8 days here exploring the city back in 1964.
Here come the Beatles! Here they come! Here they come! There's Ringo! Who else we have there? There's George!
There's Paul over there.
Here they come, the four Beatles!
WQAM captured their arrival live at Miami International Airport, here to discuss the history of the Byron Carlyle and give some perspective on Yellow Submarine and the Beatles' time in Miami and everything that's going on for this celebration. We're joined by Kareem Tapsch of O Cinema Miami. Kareem, great to have you back, man.
Wonderful to be here again.
All right, so take us back. Let's shoot back a little bit. This is before our time, of course. Back to 1968, what were the theater options in Miami at the time?
I mean, that's an era where theater going was so different across the world, right? You had single screen theaters. So in Miami Beach, people will remember the Carib, the Lincoln, the Colony, certainly all of those along Lincoln Road. In North Beach, you had the Surf and the Normandy, and these were all what we'd call single-screen theaters. One screen, hundreds of seats, one movie showing at a time. It's changed quite a bit since then.
And it was such an event, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
You dressed up to go to the movies.
Going to the movies was a night out, you know. If you come to O Cinema now, you'll see people in shorts and flip-flops, which we welcome because it's an extension of your home. Be comfortable. But then you'd see people, gentlemen in coats and women in gloves. I mean, there's great footage of that. It was a different era, and movie going was such a really took over America, and particularly in Miami and Miami Beach. The city was littered with theaters.
Tell us about the Byron Carlyle. What was unique about it?
When the Byron Carlyle opened in 1968 as part of the Wometco Theater chain, which was the Wolfson family, which of course made huge contributions to our community, it opened as the largest theater in South Florida at the time. It was two auditoriums, one which was about 600 seats and the other one around 700 or 800 seats. So it really kind of was a game changer from day one. You had these not just two screens, now you had double the options of movies to see.
Which is, by the way, it's just so weird to think about, because now we have these 18, 24 Plex IMAX theaters, right, and everything. But back in the day, it was two, when you had two screens, oh my God.
Those were the game changer. All of a sudden, you had so much more choices, right? And movies would, you know, tour around the country, and they would stay in theaters for weeks and weeks at a time. So sometimes a lot of time would go by between you going to see another one. And there was in that area, you had the Normandy and the Surf on Collins and then the Byron Carlyle, which are three blocks away. None of them were showing the same film. So unless something new came in, it was a couple of, you know, sometimes a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months before you went to go to the movies again. So the Byron opens in 68. It's a game changer. This huge red carpet premiere with the likes of Jackie Gleason and Otto Preminger in the premiere of a film called Skidoo.
That was the first movie?
That was the first movie. The very 60s name. Hosted by a little guy known as Larry King. And this is what Larry did in the 60s in Miami. He hosted movie premieres and fashion shows in between his radio shows. And that's what kickstarted the theater as kind of an epicenter for movies in our community.
And that was in one of the theaters, right? What was the other one?
Yeah, so actually when it opened, that film was screening across both screens.
Oh, well,
that
okay.
Big of a deal. But the following week opened one of my personal favorites films, which is The Lion in Winter, starring Katharine Hepburn, Peter O'Toole, and Anthony Hopkins first film role, and Timothy Dalton, who later went on to become James Bond. And that film actually is so popular. I want to say it won about 7 Academy Awards. It was so popular, it played at the theater for a year.
That you just don't hear of that at all.
Absolutely not. And it's a great film. We plan to bring it back at some point later this year as part of our 50-year celebration of the theater.
All right, so let's listen to the trailer of The Lion in Winter, the second film to open at that theater.
Don't fight me, Eleanor.
What would you have me do? Give out, give up, give in?
Give me a little peace.
A little? Why so modest? How about eternal peace? Now there's a thought.
Well, what shall we have? The Holly or each other?
For these 10 years you've lived with everything I've lost and loved another woman through it all. I could peel you like a pear, and God himself would call it justice.
Oh, I loved movie previews were just so different than what you get today. Today it's more visual, but I'm going to geek out for a second. By the way, I just have to mention that this is one of my favorite stories. I did watch both movies. There were two versions, but that was the first one with Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn. I actually got to perform on the stage performance of Lion in Winter.
What?
So I did that years ago. I have to just geek out. I just have self-indulging. That's all. I got to play Richard, which was Anthony Hopkins' part.
Oh, wow.
It was a fun. It's such a fun movie, a really fun story. But why was that movie so significant for that era? Because as you said, it was in the theater for a year.
I mean, it was groundbreaking on so many levels. First of all, it's visually beautiful, and the performances, I mean, I think you can get that across just from the bit we heard.
I mean, look at the cast.
It's astounding. But, you know, it was based in history, but it was also controversial. You know, the film had a gay subtext, you know, the relationship between Anthony Hopkins' character and that of Timothy Dalton, for example. I mean, that's 1968, and it's dealt with you know, kind of very head on. So it was ahead of its time in that way. And again, those performances are so superb that, you know, it's one of those that I watch probably once every 6 months.
By the way, because you talk about the scene where Anthony Hopkins and Timothy Dalton are basically, they're having a lover's quarrel. But watch the two versions of the movie and see how they deal with that subject over a period of decades. Because I think the second version came out in the 90s. So it's a bit different. Over the next couple of decades, though, the theater featured major Hollywood films. You look through some of the old advertising from the Brandon Carlisle. Give us an idea of the films that were screened there. What other kind of big movies came through?
I mean, the most iconic films of the last 50 years played at the Byron Carlisle. Titles like Jaws, a little film called Rocky, The Empire Strikes Back, E.T., Die Hard. All of these are movies that came through the theater. It's interesting. For those of us who grew up in Miami, the Byron Carlisle was where we went to go see movies. And you know, some of the most popular films kind of our generations came alive on those screens.
It was, what, 2001? The theater shuts down.
Yeah, the theater had, you know, goes through this kind of long history, right? So it opens with these two screens, and in the 80s, it actually gets multiplexed. So it goes from two screens to seven, and it was known for a long time as the Byron Carlisle 7. And then in 2001, the theater does close down. It's the same time that the Regal Cinema 18 in South Beach opens up. And the city of Miami Beach, with the help of a lot of activists in the community, see this piece of real estate. It's an entire block in North Beach, and say this is going to be a catalytic part of the future of this community in North Beach. And they purchase it. They partially renovate the building, so only the far eastern portion of the building has been renovated into kind of a multifunction space, full stage, you know, 300 seats across two levels. And it operates kind of as a rental house with theater troupes, dance troupes, comedians coming through and kind of sporadically doing shows in that era, in that facility. And then a local theater company, the Stage Door out of Broward, took management of the theater for about 2 years or so until one of their co-founders passed suddenly, and they stopped programming the space. And the city of Miami Beach approached us and said, can we revive this as a movie theater with the kind of unique programming that O Cinema does?
Talking with Kareem Tapp, she's the executive director of O Cinema, which are two independent movie theaters around Miami, which one of two. It's the 50th anniversary of the formerly Byron Carlisle Theater in Miami Beach, which was restored by O Cinema in 2014. And for that celebration, they're going to have a special going on this weekend, and that's why we played a little bit. We were talking about the Beatles earlier. That's part of the celebration this weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say that I'm the co-director and co-founder of O Cinema alongside Vivian Martel, who's the brains of the operation.
Thank you.
The mouth. Yes, we're celebrating another 50th anniversary, and that is the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. This version has been stunningly hand-restored. So it looks as beautiful as you'll ever have seen it.
I gotta admit, I haven't seen that movie since I was a kid. That's going back to the maybe early 80s, late 70s?
It's, well, so chances are you did not see it in great shape because, you know, back in those days what you'd have were these old film prints that would tour across the country. So with time, film prints, the colors fade, the sound goes out of whack, and what you're seeing now is a full restoration, 5.1 sound of that glorious Beatles music, and like I said, hand-restored imagery. It's colorful, it's vibrant, it's like psychedelic 60s pop coming alive in front of you. We're starting it on July 20th for a week at the Byron.
Let me come back, though, because you said something a moment ago about what was going on in that time from when the theater shut down, and I was curious, why did O Cinema want to revitalize that Byron Carlisle Theater? What was behind that?
We believe in the power of movies to change communities and change lives. It's the most accessible art form. And what we've seen in other places, particularly in Wynwood, that it, you know, it really kind of brings a really rich and diverse audience to a space. Films are, we're dedicated to entertaining, educating, and inspiring through our films. And what we like to do is revitalize the neighborhood movie theater as a concept, which we did that in Wynwood. And when we looked at North Beach and we saw this is a neighborhood, people walk, live here. Certainly there's a tourist component, but you know, there's a real sense of belonging and of community. And we knew that we could be part of that and part of this really exciting development for community. North Beach is going through some really exciting new things, you know, some new historic preservation that it was designated earlier this year. Lots of exciting development that's coming to the community, particularly with the geobomb that's coming up for vote soon. So, you know, being able to be in the crux of that and bring cultural programming 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, really was appealing to us. And the community asked us for it, actually. When the word that O Cinema was considering coming to program and manage the Byron Carlisle got out, the city commission was inundated with emails. We were inundated with emails. And the exciting thing is, you know, we bring over 27,000 people a year to the community seeing the best in independent films and going out and supporting area businesses and really kind of being a lifeline for North Beach.
And that's your focus now on independent films. Your focus on a very different type of art, unlike what the Byron was doing before.
Yes, exactly. Our focus is on independent foreign and art films. There's a million places to see the new Harry Potter movie. That, and there's a dated reference right there. Hasn't been a Harry Potter movie in a while.
Yeah, that's old now, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little out of it. But there's a million places to see all these great mainstream movies. You can go anywhere to see Ocean's 8. That's a recent one. But there's not as many options to see these great independent films. So when, and that kind of speaks to the crux of why we started O Cinema, Vivian Martel and I. We would travel, spend a lot of time, myself in San Francisco, New York, Vivian in Toronto, and we would inevitably go to the movies because we wouldn't see some of these films in our community, and that seemed ludicrous to us.
When the film opened at O Cinema, filmmaker Barry Jenkins spoke with New Tropic about its importance to a Miami audience.
Yeah, when Terrell's piece first came to me, it was by these kids at Borscht, and the whole thing was to have Miami natives be proud of telling their story. So I think, you know, if the film does well, or if people, you know, pick out the neighborhoods or the schools and things like that and take pride in it, you know, I think that would just be amazing, you know, because I think we all should be proud to be from the 305 or the 786, whatever you want to say.
Exactly.
That was such an important moment in Miami history, I think, in film history, but O Cinema got to play its part.
Yeah, absolutely. That was for Moonlight, and we were the first theater in the state to open that film. It played at O Cinema for, I think, like a record-setting 14 weeks, and we had Terrell McCraney and cast and Barry come through the theater quite often. O Cinema is one of is Terrell's home theater, so that makes it easy. But it kind of speaks to the really to what we do, which is the importance of representation. We want to represent the diverse and rich fabric of this community. And we're so proud of doing that. I think that the stories that you see coming alive at O Cinema, represent such vast communities here, whether it's the African-American experience, Latino, LGBT, Jewish, and a film like Moonlight that does that while also being so authentic to the community and being made from the community by members of the community.
So it's really interesting what you said a second ago about how when word got out that O Cinema was interested in coming in and reviving some of that old feel, that there was a push. People wanted it. And I wondered about that. We live in this age now where, well, first of all, even going to the movies is like, what for? I mean, I've got everything at home whenever I want it. But even if I do, movie theaters now are pushing so hard more on the IMAX experience, the IMAX 3D experience. Movie theaters are getting, really a lot more sophisticated in what they're offering people. It's becoming more of like a, first of all, you get reclining, big reclining seats with little tables. Menu options are bigger. They're really trying to make it an experience. So how does something like O Cinema, and I know it's not the only one in the country, but how does that thrive in this age where it seems like the customer wants so much more?
Yeah, I think that it comes down to the fact that Vivian and I, when we talk about a cinema and when every decision we make is we lead with the art. The decisions are based around, are we bringing the best and the brightest to the screen? Are we bringing films that represent the community? And what you do, there's certainly lots of VIP experiences. We offer you VIP films, is how I like to describe it. So we're not the fanciest theater in town, but you might have the best experience by coming to us. And you'll see films that resonate with you and resonate with the local community. And we do more than just show films, which is really important. You know, earlier this summer, we had the fantastic documentary RBG about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And we talked about that on the show, too.
Yeah, right? And we paired that documentary screening with a conversation about women in leadership roles and invited four or five women leaders across different industries in a post-film discussion. You know, that was probably our highest attended screening. And that's just kind of one portion of the things we do. We did an opening for the Grace Jones film earlier this summer, and we paired that with a Grace Jones block party. Our opening for Boom for Real, the Basquiat film, we paired that with a conversation with Jason Jeffers and Franklin Sermons, the director of the Perez Art Museum in Miami. We believe that films are the gateway. They're the gateway not just for the arts, but they're gateways to the issues that are facing our community, whether those issues are inclusivity and diversity, whether they are just kind of a celebration of our commonalities and also celebrations of our differences. So going, having that kind of experience is very different than going to your neighborhood theater, just plopping down with some popcorn entertainment, which is fine and great, and I enjoy it too. But we our approach is a little different, and I think that the community has really responded in kind.
Let's finish up by going back in the past a little bit because, we got a lot of Beatles fans here. And I did mention that there was a tie-in. So as you said, you're going to be playing Yellow Submarine for this 50th anniversary that's coming up this weekend. Again, the Beatles came through Miami and, they spent some time here. We have this really fascinating clip. This is from the Beatles appearing in the Ed Sullivan Show, which was in Miami Beach back in 1964.
And now this has happened again last Sunday. On our show in New York, the Beatles played to the greatest TV audience that's ever been assembled in the history of American TV. Now, tonight, here in Miami Beach, teamed up with Hollywood's delightful Mitzi Gaynor, Myron Cohen, comedy stars Alan and Rossi, again, the Beatles face a record-busting audience. Now, before I bring on the Beatles, ladies and gentlemen, here are four of the nicest youngsters we've ever had on our stage. The Beatles! Bring them on!
First of all, I got to say, I love when I hear people back in the day and they talk about Miami.
Right.
Miami. But you know what? Ed Sullivan had a, his show. There was a link here to Miami Beach.
Yeah. That, that appearance was just a few blocks away from where the Byron Carlisle is. It was at the old Deauville, which has been closed now for about a year. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Miami has a rich history, and Miami Beach has a rich history. And the Beatles play a big part of it in the 60s. So it's kind of a nice way of bringing it full circle.
So what do you expect for this weekend, coming back to Yellow Submarine?
We expect a lot of excitement. We expect a lot of singing. We're actually doing two sing-along screenings of the film. So on Saturday, July 20th, 21st at 8:30 p.m. and on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. we will have sing-along screenings with the lyrics on the screen. Come kind of get lost.
You know what? I mean, just I've been listening to it the last couple of days as getting ready for this segment, and that song is in my head now. It's there. I can't get it out. So, but it's a great song, and we're going to finish the show with it. So, Corinne Tapp, she's the executive director of O Cinema, which are, this amazing place here in Miami Beach. So much history. It's the 50th anniversary of the formerly Byron Carlisle Theater in Miami Beach, which was restored by O Cinema in 2014. And they're screening the iconic cartoon film for the Beatles, Yellow Submarine, again Saturday.
Starts Friday, July 20th, playing for a week. Sing-along screenings, ocinema.org for details.
Perfect. Kareem, as always, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having us.